that I just want to make sure that I'm approachable and available for them in those moments. Mm-hmm. So just let them know that. And we told them, like, you can come and talk to us about anything. I know that you may not want to, and you may not do that, but I just want you to feel like you can, like you're not going to get in trouble or something like that. If it's serious, right? As long as you're coming to us, you know, we're going to listen to you. You know, we'll do what we can.
My name is Tim Anderson. Welcome to Father and Friend, where men learn to live for the good of their families.
Today we're with Mike. He has a wife and four children, three in high school and one in middle school or elementary?
Actually, yes, one in middle school.
One in middle school?
Yeah.
Awesome. And we're looking forward to finding out what Mike's doing with his family that is having a positive impact. So, Mike, do you want to start by just telling us the beginning of your fatherhood journey? Where did that begin?
Okay. So 2006, we'd been married 3 years and, we found out we were pregnant, living in a small apartment. And, this is actually true for all the kids that we had, but I knew my wife was pregnant, but it didn't really become a reality to me, as strange as that sounds, until he was born. Mm. And all of a sudden it just kind of hits you like, oh, wow. Like there's another human that we have to take care of and we have no idea what we're doing. that's how it started. And then that process just repeated itself four more times over the next, probably, I guess it was 5 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2011 was when we had our last kiddo. Mm-hmm.
And so your youngest is 10, 11?
She's actually 13.
13? Okay. Yeah. Wow. Time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when we were, was it CC? I think, were we doing CC?
Classical conversation.
Together, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a long time ago now. Yeah. Man, that's crazy.
Nice wrinkles.
Yeah, I know. I know, right? It's funny. You don't see it in yourself as much, but you like to see it in others. You're like, man, really age from like 30 to 40, 40, 50. I have a friend who's in his 50s and I saw a picture of him 10 years ago, which is when I would have probably met him. And I remember looking at the picture and thinking to myself, dang, like 40s to 50s. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of travel when it comes to my face and my wrinkles and my gray hairs. And it's amazing how quickly it happens.
Less elasticity in the skin.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Like he looks like a child at 42. Yeah. So very good. So tell me a little bit about your own upbringing. What kinds of things did your own father do that you found to be powerful, impactful for you?
Probably the main thing that my dad did with me, which I have to say, unfortunately, I have not done with my sons. But the main thing that my dad did with me was take me hunting and fishing. Mm-hmm. And
like regularly or once?
Yeah. So big thing with hunting was we would go every November into December for deer season.
For the season. Yeah.
Going, that was like my favorite thing. And then as I got a little older into my teenage years, he had bought a fishing, like a bass boat, and we would do some bass fishing tournaments. And so that was pretty regular up until my senior year, until I went to college, and then a lot of that dropped off. But that's probably, outside of that, I was pretty much home with my mom most of the time. My dad was working. He owned his own business. He would take me to like the Rangers baseball games when I was a lot younger. And so, but those things are like, when I think of my dad when I was a kid, that's what kind of pops for me. Mm.
Those memories.
Good memories. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Did you feel that your dad had a intentionality for you growing up?
Yes. Specifically with, 'cause he knew that's kind of how we connected, like going back to the hunting and fishing. because I didn't really do sports, you know, so he wasn't like coaching or anything like that. I mean, I did some football, but those things like hunting and fishing is where we connected, I guess you could say. So that's where we spent the most time. And so, yes, he was intentional about that. Outside of that, you know, he was busy. We had 12 acres, so he was constantly trying to take care of that. Mm-hmm. So he was intentional, as much as he could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you guys went fishing and hunting, fishing also?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did he teach you those things? Do you feel like that was kind of part of it? I'm passing this trade, this skill, this pleasure on to you?
It's funny. I don't remember specific memories of him like, this is how you do this. This is how you load a gun, which nobody else taught me that. So he had to have taught me that. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think it was just him taking me out there and yeah, it was, he passed that on to me. Mm-hmm. So, which is kind of why one of the things I regret specifically with my sons, but even with, my daughters is I have not done that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have reasons, I guess I could maybe excuses. I don't know. That I have not done that with them, but yeah, I wish I would have passed that on to them.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways.
Well, you have a 13-year-old, I guess it's not quite too late yet.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a little more of a girly girl, although I don't know, maybe she could pick up her love of, you know, dressing a deer. I don't know. Put it on YouTube.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's good. So what are 1 to 3 things that you are doing with your own family that you feel like have had a positive impact on them?
So as they've gotten older, so when they were younger, it was pretty much like we were every night we would have it like a small like children's Bible, and every night we would just read through it. We read through that thing so many times it was literally falling apart at the binding. As they got into the teenage years, you know, they change development, they develop in a different way, like mentally, and they process differently as they are in the teenage years. So you have to kind of relate to them differently in general. So my approach then, or has been since then, to kind of find what their interests are and try to meet them at that.
Mm-hmm.
And with each kid, obviously that's going to be different. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, one of my sons, me and him, we work out together. We lift weights.
Mm-hmm.
My other son, there's a podcast that he listens to that he kind of got me in. And then he kind of got me into anime a little bit. So I just kind of, even though I wouldn't watch that on my own, I find time to watch it with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to do that as well with the girls as I can, just kind of find what they're interested in and at least show interest. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's the main thing. And then
so let's start with the Bible reading that mm-hmm. you did earlier. What did that look like? Was that in the evening?
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take? What did you say? What did you do? Describe that for me. Tell me a story.
I wish I could remember the name. It doesn't really matter, I guess, but it wasn't like a full Bible, but it had like Bible stories from like Genesis, I believe, through Revelation.
Maybe the Bible. Children's storybook Bible.
I think that was it. Okay. Yeah. So it was part of the bedtime routine,
mm-hmm.
you know, take a bath. And then before they climb into bed, put their jammies on, and then we'll all gather around and I'll read the Bible.
Did everybody come together?
Yeah.
To do it at the same time?
Yep.
So was that you saying, hey, now we're going to do this after bath time?
It was pretty much like at first I'm sure we had to do that, but it just becomes a routine, right? Mm-hmm. And so once it's a routine, you just kind of fall into place.
Everybody knew that's what we do.
Yeah.
Before we go to bed, we read the story. And then what did you do after reading part of the Bible story? Would you just read it and then be, no, that's good.
I'm trying to remember. It's been so long, honestly. So we would read and we would pray, just kind of generic prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we would either follow that up, or maybe it was before Bible time. They would pick a story, like a short book that we had, like a children's book, and I would read that. It's usually me. That's kind of, it fell on my shoulders to do that, since Blair was taking care of the kids all day.
Mm-hmm. You would do the whole nighttime routine from
I would say, bedtime. I mean, not saying like Blair was checked out or anything, but yeah, like that was kind of my responsibility. That was kind of what I did.
You would lead that part.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess that's when you were home from work.
Correct. Yeah. So we're talking like what, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock at night, somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. So I was home. And read a story, like a bedtime story, I guess you'd say. Mm. Pray and then just do the bedtime routine, put him to bed.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's fantastic. So let's jump then forward to the other things you mentioned. You mentioned working out. So how did that start and what does that look like?
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, we may get into this a little later maybe, but so I was pushing 40 years old back in the beginning of 2020. And I just personally, I got to a place where I was like, I feel like I'm like 50. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I was completely sedentary. So I just wanted to make a life change. And by God's grace, I was able to do that with lifting weights and just working out. And so I tried to incorporate my sons to do that. And, you know, back then they were like 12, 13. They really weren't into it. Mm-hmm. So they kind of dropped out of it. But I just kept at it, right? And so they saw Dad doing it. And then one of my sons in particular, he got to a place where he was like, I want to change the way I'm eating. You know, he's a teenager now. He's more self-conscious of what he looks like and things like that. So he started working out and it was by his own volition. I didn't push him or anything. And yeah, it just kind of blossomed into, he kind of developed a love for it and a habit for it. And through that, it's like, you know, his body was changing. He's looking nice and toned, things like that. And just trying to reinforce like, that should be kind of a secondary issue because it was for me, right? Working out is more of like just trying to, you know, get through my day-to-day routine and have some sort of strength and mobility. Healthy. Yeah. And if I start looking jacked and then that, great. but so just trying to not make it a vanity thing, right?
Right.
And so just kind of reinforce like spiritual health, right? That's important. And then also physical health. Mm. And then with us doing that, one of my other sons who was kind of late to the game on that, but I didn't want to like push it on him, right? I wanted it to be by their own volition. He's like, he got a gym membership. So now him and his brother go up to
on
his own. Yeah. And he's 18 now. So he pays for his membership. Mm-hmm. So they go up there together a few days a week with one of their buddies. And so it's like, it's kind of cool just to see like something I've done because I was sought beneficial for myself. Mm-hmm. That kind of them seeing that like, hey, that looks like it's doing Dad some good. Maybe I should do that too. Mm. Kind of something like that. And that extends to any spiritual practice. Like if they see you reading your Bible, hopefully they'll be like, it may be like 10 years down the road, but maybe they'll look back and be like, you know, maybe I should start reading my Bible. Mm. That kind of idea.
Mm-hmm. No, that's good. So your sons go work out together. And then do you go with them or do you work out at a
different time? No, I kind of let them be. That's kind of their thing because they take a buddy with them.
Okay.
So I don't be like, hey, Dad's tagging along. So we kind of developed a kind of a small home gym.
Okay.
And so I just stay at home and work out.
Mm-hmm. And they work out with you sometimes?
Yes, one of them does.
One of them does, yeah.
Once or twice a week.
Okay. Yeah. Is that the older one or younger one?
I guess it's my second oldest.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. And during that time you work out, do you have conversations or do you have any, I want to talk to you about this conversations, or do you just let it be whatever happens, happens?
So I have actually saved those types of conversations for, I've been trying to, I've probably been doing this since August or so of last year, but each week I will take one of my kids to like Chick-fil-A or Whataburger and we'll go and we'll have breakfast. And that's when I will say, hey, how are things going? What's going on in life? Anything I can be praying for you about? Mm-hmm. And then at the end, we'll do just like a real simple stripped down devotional, but we'll read something in scripture and go over it. I save that for those kind of conversations for that. Mm-hmm. But with like working out, I don't really push that, you know. It's more along the lines of we're just kind of there together. Mm. We're doing our workout routine together. And I think what the way I think about it is, it's just we're spending time together. Mm. Even though we may not be talking a lot, it's like that's something we are doing together, like me and my dad. Mm-hmm. We would go fishing, we would go hunting. We may or may not have struck up a conversation during that time, but we're doing it together.
Mm-hmm. It's like shared memory or a shared experience.
Shared memory, shared experience, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if they want to, especially with being teenagers, sometimes you got to be careful with that, because if they don't want to talk, I don't want to push it, right? So it's like if I, you know, bring up something and they want to talk more about it, then that's great. But I kind of save those conversations specifically for that kind of one day a week, mm-hmm. Type of thing.
Now with the teenagers and the desire to maybe not talk about something at that moment, and remind me, are you guys still homeschooling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And your oldest two, what are they doing right now?
My oldest, he's 18. He actually has all of his credits to graduate.
Okay.
So he's been spending this last school year working full time.
Okay. Where's he working?
He's actually working for a contractor that does home renovations.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So he's learning some construction.
And then he's planning on going to probably an apprenticeship as an electrician after he officially graduates. That's kind of the plan right now.
He's excited about that?
I suppose he is. Yeah.
As excited as one might be.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something we've kind of talked to him about, like, what do you want to do after you graduate? You know, is it going to be college? Is it going to be something more like just go into a trade? And he's kind of chosen that career path, is get licensed in a trade and like some sort of skilled labor, mm-hmm. something like that.
That's cool. I think electrician is probably the top tier of the three trades, you know, electrician, plumbing, HVAC. Mm-hmm. Electrician is probably the better one of those three.
Yeah. So my dad was an electrician. And so I think it's kind of, if he ends up doing that, it'd be kind of cool because he's kind of carrying on that legacy, I guess.
Oh, that's neat. And is your dad still alive?
Mm-hmm.
So he has someone to talk to about it as well.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, so hey, grandpa, quickly, like, tell me about this.
Yeah. He's quickly learning more than I do about tools and how to, painting and things like that.
It's like, Dad, that's not called a wrench.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's fun.
But I'm happy with that. So.
Oh, that's great. What about that teenage year? You mentioned the idea of you being patient if your teenager isn't interested in talking. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, I just kind of find it as a losing battle.
Have you attempted to lose the battle?
Yeah, if I push it too hard.
You've attempted to win the battle?
Yeah, yeah. Because I don't want them to be like, you know, stop pushing me, Dad, or, you know, I don't want to talk about that type of thing. Sometimes you have to have those conversations depending on what it is. You just kind of have to breach those if it's an important enough subject. But I think in general, I don't try to, maybe that's just me, I don't know. I don't really try to push too hard if they're not in a talkative mood.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of go off their cues. Mm. And sometimes it's like they won't talk to you all day, and then at 11 o'clock at night, they just kind of open up. And so I think when that happens, I just want to make sure that I'm approachable and available for them in those moments. Mm-hmm. So just let them know that. And we've told them, like, you can come and talk to us about anything. I know that you may not want to, and you may not do that. But I just want you to feel like you can, like you're not going to get in trouble or something like that if it's serious, right? As long as you're coming to us, you know, we're going to listen to you. You know, we'll do what we can.
Do you feel like that has worked? Might not be the right word, but do you feel that they've taken you up on those offers?
I think I can see some of our kids more so than others do that. And then some of the ones that are more quiet and reserved in that aspect will surprise us with, like, oh, wow, he came and talked to me. Like, I wasn't expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But, yeah, I think just making, like, letting them know, like, I'm available, and I've told them outright, like, you can talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, does that answer your question?
Mm.
Yeah.
So you mentioned devotionals that you did early on, and then now that has morphed into that you meet with each child individually, mm-hmm. and you'll do, like, once a week, you'll do a devotional with them, mm-hmm. along with just talk to them about maybe things that are on your own mind about their own life.
Pretty much.
Like, hey, I think this is a problem, or maybe you need to work on this.
Yeah.
Okay. What are, can you give me an example of some of those things that have come up?
I'm trying to think. So
without breaking any trust, of course.
Yeah. It's truthfully, it's hard for me to think of anything specific, but I'm just, you know, with them being teenagers, I know the girls especially have had friend drama here and there. So just talking to them about that, and actually Blair's been really good about that, probably because she's a female talking girl to girl.
Mm-hmm.
But with the boys, it's hard because I don't want them. I've personally found that when you kind of come off in a lecturing tone, like you shouldn't do that, or why'd you do it? They shut down, boom, like, okay, Dad, whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I try not to do that.
What's your approach then?
I kind of approach it from the aspect of like, hey, you know, what's going on here? Like, tell me about it. And I just try to listen.
Just kind of open the door.
Just open the door and just listen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I guess sometimes it may feel like you're walking on eggshells, maybe. But I just try to breach kind of whatever point I'm trying to get across without sounding accusatory.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've definitely dropped the ball big time on that in the past, but I think that's why I'm more careful not to do that now, because I've seen, like, the reactions I've gotten in the past. So I'm trying to come at it from a more easy way, or maybe coming beside them, right?
That's kind of from above them.
Yeah, and this is ideal, yeah. Right? This is like I ideally try to do these things.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always come out like planned, but
sounds good. I remember reading a book. I think it was Shepherding a Child's Heart. I don't remember the author off the top of my head, but
Tripp. One of the Tripps.
Yes, maybe it's one of the Tripps. Yeah. But I think he mentions an idea like that, that coming along besides you can come along beside your kid and above your children at the same time, because you can come along beside them because you know what it's like to choose the wrong things, to want the wrong things, to be confused about your emotions. Like, we understand what that's like, even as adults, you know, we know what that feels like.
Yeah.
So you can come along beside them because you're a fellow human made in the image of God. You can also come along above them because you, A, have more experience than they do,
mm-hmm.
and B, you are their parent. Mm-hmm. I am my children's parent. So I've been given the authority to come along above them as well as beside them.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe parents have a tendency, and maybe this is because of the changes as they age, we have a tendency to stay coming along above them for too long, maybe, instead of coming along beside them.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah, so it's an interesting transition, mm-hmm. which you've already done, and I imagine you're kind of still doing with some of the younger ones,
mm-hmm.
becoming more of side to side instead of, vertical relationship.
Yeah, because they're, and I forget which book I read, but it's basically talking about the mental changes that a child undergoes as they enter adolescence, and they start thinking like an adult. And so, for example, instead of, like, as you put it, coming over, I guess, above them, like in a more authoritative way, that doesn't work as much because they're thinking for their own. They think critically. Then they're like, well, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I need to do that? That doesn't make sense. I don't agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So coming alongside them, you know, it's less offensive to them, I found. And I have to admit, I'm the same way. As an adult, I don't want my parents, even though I'm not technically under their authority anymore. If I feel like I'm being criticized in any way, I'm going to shut down.
Mm.
That's kind of my, at least that's my knee-jerk reaction.
Mm-hmm. Even if they're right.
Yeah, even if they're right. Yeah. So I mean, and they're thinking the same way. They're little adults. They're thinking like adults now. And so I have to respect that as much as I can while also delivering truth in a gentle way if needed.
Mm. That's good. So you've got the devotion, you've got the now what's turned into the devotion once a week, but also just spending time together and making time for each child individually.
Yeah, it's kind of the goal.
Do you do that with 13-year-old as well, the girls as well?
Yep, with the girls.
What do you do? Same thing, Chick-fil-A or Whataburger and one-on-one?
I just let them choose. Usually it's breakfast, so I just let them choose. Mm-hmm. Chick-fil-A usually wins. So we just go, and it's usually about an hour tops. And sometimes they're talkative, sometimes not so much. And so it's like, okay, let's go to Bible reading, see what got it.
How long have you sat in silence before you're like, all right, maybe I should come up with something there?
Yeah, really, it hasn't gotten too awkward. I think I don't like awkward silence as much, so maybe that's more on me.
Yeah.
I'm down for more small talk if needed, whereas Blair's more of like, she hates small talk, and if it's not going to be serious, then she might as well just sit in silence. So so she's more comfortable with that than I am, I think.
Yeah. I felt similarly as far as the awkward silence. I remember sitting in the car with one of mine, and because I was attempting not to be the lecturing parent, I thought, I'm just going to sit in silence this time. And I think we sat in silence the whole drive.
Wow.
It wasn't super far. It was like 15 minutes. Okay. But still, it felt really long. It's like, gosh, are they going to say something?
Yeah. That's pretty routine for us. But it's like, at the same time, I try not to push that, because it's like, I want that to be of their own volition. Like, if they're going to talk, let that come from them. I don't want to make them do that. And I don't know, I guess some people may disagree with that, but.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think I probably need to accept that I also like to sit in silence sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what other people are thinking when I'm sitting in silence, if they think I'm upset or bothered, but I'm usually not. I'm just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And so why would my children feel any differently?
Sure.
Sometimes you've just been had a busy day and your mind is rushing with things and you've been doing homework all day and you know, your dad just told you need to go find a job. And so now you're just thinking about it.
Yeah. And trying as a parent, I feel like I'm doing that a lot, is just kind of reading the room. I'm like, are they wanting to talk right now?
Or would you say that's another thing that you've learned to do that's a positive impact, is reading the room, is learning how to read the room?
I mean, I would think it comes in handy to some extent. Yeah, just to read the room. And, I don't know. Yeah, I guess so. That's all I'll say about that. Yeah.
What's another thing that you've done or are doing in your family that you feel like has had a positive impact? Or another way to put that would be something that you're doing that you think every dad should be doing, or it's automatic for you, so you just do it.
Yeah.
And you sort of assume every dad's doing it.
Yeah. So those things that I mentioned with kind of finding things that they're interested in and meeting them there.
Mm-hmm.
And then also spending time with them one-on-one. Outside of that, this is more of a family aspect that we do as a family, is every Friday we make time just to go out for dinner. Like, we're going to go out, maybe a restaurant, maybe Chick-fil-A. We're going to go out to dinner. Afterwards, we may go get some dessert, and then we'll go home and we'll watch something on the TV. Or maybe if we're feeling like it, we'll do a game night or something like that.
Mm-hmm. All together.
Yeah.
Does anybody get out of it?
Yeah. So, well,
is it a requirement, or is it like, hey, this is what we're doing?
We started with it as a requirement and started getting pushback pretty hard from the older ones.
Yeah.
So especially we've tried to, with our oldest being 18, respected, like, okay, you're 18 now, you're dependent on us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the most part, he's making money now, but so you're an adult, so we don't, you know, he gets more loose strings than the other ones do. And there's been times like, hey, such and such has asked if I can come hang out with them on Friday night. Is that okay? I'm like, yeah, that's fine. We were stringent with that to begin with, but we've kind of loosened the strings somewhat, but we kind of make it known, like, and they know now, like, mom and dad want this, you know, Fridays are kind of our time together. So they try to respect that. But if something comes along, it's not like, yeah, you can go have a slumber party at such and such's house. We're not going to push that, that you stay at home with those.
So maybe you have a, everybody knows it's got a high value.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you can't do anything else.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Go. Let's jump back. You mentioned doing things that your kids like to do, and you had mentioned anime as one of those items. Mm-hmm. How do you engage with anime?
Sit in front of the TV and you watch.
I mean, is it? Do you enjoy it now that you started watching it?
Well,
have you learned to enjoy it?
I will admit it, and if he ever watches this, I'll admit this. It's hard for me to follow on because he likes the subtitles. He doesn't like the voiceover in English, so okay. He'd rather it be in Japanese with the subtitles. Which means you have to pay attention.
You have to read the whole thing.
Read the whole thing. So it's a little exhausting for me. It can be. I think he's much more adept at that, so it's not as an issue for him. So that's like the only thing. But yeah, so it has to, at least this particular show that we watch, you have to give it your full attention.
You have to keep up with the storyline.
Keep up with the storyline, yeah. Or you're going to be completely lost.
So is this a scheduled thing, or is this just whenever it comes up, you'll sit down with him?
It's not scheduled.
So whenever he's watching it, you'll go.
Yeah, sometimes it'll be a Friday night. And if we don't have a movie to watch, he's like, hey, Dad, you want to watch an episode or two? Sure. Yeah. And so we'll do maybe a couple of episodes, and then I'll try to, ask the other kids if they want to watch something as well, so because they don't really watch that. So instead of it being like Friday night, I spend all time watching anime with him, like I'll watch a little bit with him and maybe do something else with the other kids if they want. Mm-hmm. Again, we don't really push it per se. Mm-hmm.
That's really neat. I spoke with somebody who they recalled their own upbringing and they recalled a event when they were about 14 up, you know, just getting into high school, where they had asked their dad to play a game with them that they really loved. And he had the rhythm of asking each child what they want for their birthday. And so this was his birthday request. Mm-hmm. I want you to come play this game with me. And he recalls this event because his dad said, I don't want to do that. And he recalled it as a way his dad said, I'm not interested in what you're interested in. Mm. And so sometimes it can feel like it takes more focus. It takes more effort to do those things. But it seems that they have a lot of long lasting value for a relationship.
Yeah.
When you say yes to something that somebody else is interested in and wants you to be interested in it because they're interested in it. Yeah. And so that's neat that you've willingly watched that show. Cause I'm, you know, like you said, it probably wouldn't be your first choice.
Yeah.
I feel like, what do I want to watch tonight?
Yeah.
It might not be your first choice.
Yeah. It's more, it's like less about, what I want them to do and more like, what are you interested in? And, you know, let's see if I can get interested in it too, or you know, because I've wanted that intentionality of like I want to be able to meet them where they're at with whatever they're doing. And you know, to some extent that's easier to do with the boys because I'm a guy, and Blair, it's easier for her to do it with the girls because she's a girl. But at the same time, it's like that's kind of why I set aside that time taking them out to eat, because that's more along the lines of me telling them, hey, we're gonna go eat. And I bribe them with food. So that's kind of our trade-off. So.
Free Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. 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 So, but they seem to enjoy that. Mm.
What are the things that you've done with the girls that have been in that same idea of spending time with them, doing the things that they like to do?
We haven't done this much recently, although she's asking me to, but maybe we will since it's warmer weather now. She's wanting to get out and run more. My oldest daughter. So it was probably a year and a half ago, we started running like 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. And we ended up doing a 5K.
Oh, nice. How far would you run?
How far?
Yeah.
We got up to like 3 miles.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm not a runner, so I refuse to go over that.
That's your max.
Yeah. We just kind of dedicated ourselves. We're going to do a 5K in September. And so we trained for like 3 months or something like that. Mm-hmm. And me and her and then my oldest ran a 5K. And she's asking to do that again. Mm-hmm. So that specifically is what I've done with her. And then with my youngest daughter, I haven't found, I guess, an activity per se to do with her yet. It's more along the lines of like, what is she interested in? And we let her do some YouTube shorts. So she loves, you know, dancing and things like that. And so she'll come and show those to us. And we, you know, obviously we may be like, yeah, don't post that we'll say like, oh, wow. You know, we just try to be interested in what she's interested in.
That's
so she's much more of like, she's singing, she dances. And so we kind of want to pour into her, into those things that, you know, feed her in that way.
I don't remember. You're not musical. Or are you musical? Do you play guitar?
I play guitar.
Okay.
Yeah. And so that's about the extent of my musicality.
But you can appreciate it.
I definitely appreciate it. I mean, I like music. I listen to music much more than I, you know, watch sports or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I'm just not very active in like a band or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
How much time, like, do you find it difficult to find time for all those humans, those activities that you're participating in?
It, to some extent. So I guess some families like to fill up their schedules every day, every night, you know, stay busy. Mm-hmm. We're not necessarily like that. We have like church functions we go to every Wednesday night. And then we have Sunday. Sometimes we have small group. Our oldest daughter's in soccer now. And so there's definitely activities that they do. But we definitely allow downtime, I would say, most nights. Mm-hmm. To just kind of chill. And that's just kind of what we've done. So we don't have any activities per se. So we just, you know, if we want to watch a sitcom or something on TV, we'll do that. It's just more whatever comes.
So you don't find yourself busy all the way until 10 o'clock at night?
No.
No?
No, I've never been like that. I don't know. It's just too much for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't want our... And we have kind of been in that season before, and we made that decision to pull back, like... I think we're fine just not participating in some things, right? And just having time as a family, and it's not even structured. It's just they can do their schoolwork, they can read, we can kind of just hang out as a family, and that's kind of it. Mm. So, and you know, not to say that maybe there is room in there to be more intentional. So I'm not saying we do it perfectly or anything like that, right? So that's just kind of how we are right now. Mm-hmm.
Any other things that you believe all dads should be doing?
In general, I would say all dads, well, we can put it in that way, or we can put it in another way. First and foremost, dads should not be angry, right? They should not be distant. I have at times struggled with anger, and come to realize like the wrath of man does not bring about the righteousness of God. Mm. And so not always about what we can do, but it's especially about what we don't do, is letting things like that kind of muddy or poison the water. Because if you do that, it's much harder to have any type of close relationship with them at that point. And so once you can kind of more or less not do those types of things that are kind of, like I said, poisonous, you can kind of focus on the intentionality, which at that point I would say, you know, if you're a Christian, at some capacity, trying to pour into your kids the Word of God, and not just let the church do that. But like that should be coming from a parent, because I think that as they get older, they're more likely to carry on those habits if they saw the mom and dad doing it or doing it with them, as opposed to like a youth pastor who may be a big influence in their life. But I think it's just more important, obviously, for a parent to be doing that.
So let's talk about the not letting your anger rule you. Can you think of a time where that did happen? And can you think of a time where that didn't happen? So a failure and a success, to just give us an example of.
Again, it's hard to say anything in particular, but I can't like kind of go back in the Rolodex of my mind and just think of the times where I've lost my cool. And just now you're put in the position of like, well, now I have to apologize. And so having to come and just be like, I'm sorry, I should not have done that. And, you know, even say like, I've failed you as a father in that particular instance. And I think as a dad, that's probably the one main thing that I regret, that I can say I regret as a dad, is the times I've lost my cool. Because it's taken me so long to learn, like, the things that we get mad about, usually an hour later or 2 hours later, it's like a non-issue. But if I lost my cool, it's become an issue, because the issue now is I have to apologize about it and I've done damage. Whereas if I just bit my tongue or handled it in a more godly way, it would have been a completely non-issue right now. So yeah, as a dad, and again, I don't have a specific instance, right? But going to, on the flip side of that, being more and you have to be intentional, I think, to not get angry, especially if there's a child that can push your buttons.
I've got a couple of those.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah. So it's like, but it's so, it feels so much better when like, wow, I was able to bite my tongue. I did not let my emotions rule over me, and it just feels so much better. And you even have the upper hand in some circumstances. If they are in the wrong and you didn't lose your cool, then you can actually let that be the issue as far as whatever they did.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're saying when fathers let their anger overtake a conversation, the real issue, whatever the disagreement was, or if the child was in the wrong about their actions.
I don't know. I more or less thinking out loud, I think, just things I wish I had done differently when they were little. I think probably what I'm trying to say is be more patient. I wish I was more patient as a dad when they were younger. I had a stick up my butt, I think, a lot of the times. And I let stuff get under my skin that I should not have. And so, and of course, that always happens with your oldest. Well, at least it did with us. I'm certain, because then by the time Charlotte gets there, we're like,
it's fine. Do whatever you want.
Yeah. So we even apologized to Lucas, like, you're our guinea pig. I'm sorry. Like, you just kind of got the brunt of it a lot of the time. So, but
yeah, it is interesting how that happens, isn't it? Yeah, the oldest. I feel for the oldest.
Yeah, that mom and dad are learning.
Yeah, mom, that's yeah. right. Mom and dad have actually never done this before. Yeah. Oh, it's so tough, that, isn't it? Because it's just true, you know, that you can't learn something until you do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just like, you just don't know what you don't know.
Right. Yeah. And someone can tell you all day long.
Yeah.
But it doesn't click.
Exactly.
You know, like I remember when people used to tell us, you know, you're going to be busy when you have a baby. We're like, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Sure. We're still going to go out and live our life. And you have a baby and you're like,
mm-hmm.
Or I'm really tired.
Yeah.
I don't know how my wife is still alive.
Yeah.
I look how back, many nights she stayed up late into the night.
That was one thing looking back, how much I coveted sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like being woken up in the middle of the night. Like it got to the point where it's like more or less routine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I never really got over that of mm-hmm. how much I coveted sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And like that was, again, going back to the anger. Mm-hmm. Just like
how frustrating that was to be tired or woken up.
I'm just like, again, I'm still alive.
Mm-hmm.
I may have taken a few years off my life, but I'm still okay. So it's just like, yeah, just being patient. And it also all goes back to being patient.
Mm-hmm.
That's like long suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, that's good. Men having self-control of their emotions
mm-hmm.
so that they don't damage their relationships with their children. Sure. And you mentioned spending time with your kids, and you mentioned passing on your faith to your kids by living it
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
And I remember the thing I forgot to was... having them know that kind of this atmosphere of y'all can come to mom and dad for anything, right? Because we don't want them to seek out answers, important answers, with someone else. Unless that's some sort of like
trusted person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yes, just to know that mom and dad will not berate you. We're a safe place.
Trying to be unsurprised by surprising news.
Correct. Yeah. Because mom and dad have paid the stupid tax.
Yeah.
Dave Ramsey said. I think we have wisdom to pass on there.
Yeah. That's great. Well, thank you very much for being here, Mike. I appreciate it.
Sure. It's fun.
Fellow fathers and friends, so glad you could join us for this episode. To stay connected, visit our website at fatherandfriend.com. Sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and other social media sites. Be sure to like, follow, and share with fellow dads and families in your community. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us a message and let us know. Until our next episode, keep showing up, loving deeply, and making an impact for the good of your family. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Father and Friend.